Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to International Black Summit Talk Show. And this is Jerry Thomas, and my co-host name is Glenn Greenwich. Introduce you to the rest of the team. We got our three lovable sisters. Henrietta Bird from the Windy City of Chicago. Say hi.
Good evening.
Okay, very good. And then we got our other sister named Jill Van Lessen from Atlanta, Georgia. Say hello, Jill.
Hello, good evening. How's everybody doing?
All right. And also we have two other sisters. She's from Jersey, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, named Clara. Clara Lyons DeVos. Again, she's from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And also, we got our other names, Shakira, Miss Flowers. And we call her Miss International because she's all over and just improving our conversation of International Black Summit. And before we get the show going, my sister Jill, please read the Declaration of the International Black Summit.
Thank you, Jerry. Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Atlanta, Georgia, March 20th, 2011. Moment of silence, please. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jill. That is so beautiful. Every time I hear the declaration, I always learn something. And then what I get from my gift from it is as possibilities and distinctions. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and create of unpredictable results. And that's what I get from it. Oh, the summit is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And also, we have our annual event code that we have every year of August of the first week of August. And this time we're going to have it in Chicago. And we're going to have it, the dates, that's going to be August 4th through the 7th. And if you want to know more, go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. Click on the city, Chicago, Windy City, where our sister Henrietta Bird at. And you will learn more. And plus, we got other stuff coming up through the month. And Jill be announcing that in a few minutes. And the title of our show that we have tonight is Single Parenting. And we're going to have find out with different viewpoints in our community that we can work on at who's a single parent or we know anybody that's a single parent. But, you know, matter of fact, first thing, foremost, matter of fact, Jill, could you have, Jill, she has some announcements about the summit, and Jill, it's all yours.
Sure. Okay. Now everyone can find the detailed information on www.blacksummit.org. There is a summit share on March 26th on Saturday from 3 to 5 in Chicago. There is a Baltimore International Black Summit reunion and share at the Steel Drum Cafe on March 7th. That's a Sunday from 4 to 6. And then we have, this is exciting, on March 27th, the first International Black Summit Share with the Community of Women of African Descent. That's going to be from 6:30 to 8:30, and that's an international conference call. And then on April 30th, there's a New York IBS prerequisite course. And on May 21st, there's another IBS prerequisite course in New York. And again, all detail and contact information can be located on blacksummit.org. Back to you, Jerry.
Thank you so much. Beautiful. Thank you so much. And also, we have our shows, the International Black Summit Talk Show. We have our shows every Sunday night, 8 o'clock p.m. The number, if anybody listens, 646-716-9827. So if anybody listening, pass that number out and have people call in, because we definitely want to hear from you. We definitely want to hear from you. Okay, now there is the show. Again, the topic is single parents. And we got some stuff that we're going to bring out, and we're going to add questions. So sit back and relax and engage. Engage. All right. Now, I just want to bring this up. I was thinking about this point is, how does the other single parent impact of that child's life? You know, when they move out, you know, when both parents break up, they move out, and then all of a sudden, you know, they gotta sit down and they gotta talk, and either they wanna find out, you know, where's the time they can go pick up the child from school, and sometimes they gotta find out what the child really needs. And I wanna know what's the other parent that live outside, don't live with the child, that has an impact.
Well, Jerry, hold on a second. We've got one caller that already has their hand in the air, and maybe they'll answer that question for us.
Okay.
Go ahead, listener. 708-668. Go ahead. You're live on the air.
Okay, what was your question again?
Because I want to know when the other parent moves out from the household, I want to know how does the other parent has an impact in that child's life?
Well, it's gonna depend upon their responsibility level. If the person that moves out is a joint parent where they feel that they're going to take a role of responsibility, what I mean by that, the conditions, depending on the conditions that they moved out. You know, if it's a parent that is equally responsible, then they're going to take a positive role and be there for their child. But on the other turn, if it's someone that moves out that has decided that they're not going to be responsible and they're going to go in and live their life as they choose without looking back, then the outcome is totally different. So if two people decide that they want to take a different journey, it can be a positive experience for the child. It just depends upon those parents, you know.
Okay.
And as being a single parent, as I said, it, having to be the sole responsible person, you do what you have to do. And for me, I just made God that absentee parent, you know. I just had my children focus more on a spiritual level, especially my son, because they do miss having that male figure around. And so the impact can be very harmful to the child if you allow it. And it's just something that I chose not to do. I chose not to allow the absence of the father to be a negative experience for my children, you know, especially my son.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Thank you so much. Because then go more on your point, my son. I know my older brother, we talked not so long ago, and one third of his life, my grandmother, when she was living, she raised my brother. And everything that he learned really is from my mother, but at the same time it's from my grandmother. And I remember the time that my my mother and my grandmother, they would sit down, you know, this is what he needs, like, for school, or this is we got to go to PTA meeting, or go to basketball thing. So basically, I see firsthand how single parent it was, and it was real beautiful because my brother ended up growing up be a special man. He lives in Virginia, got 3 or 4 kids, and everything turned out right. So, and plus at the same time, he had male figures. My grandmother was made sure that he had male figures in the family,
mm-hmm.
like my
mm-hmm.
uncle and other people in the community that he was living in, Brownsville, Brooklyn, New York, that had a very committed, positive attitude. And that's how he was flourishing. So that is a very good point. Anybody else?
Yes, while we hear from Henrietta, she's one of our
yes.
Hosts, but also a single parent. Go ahead, Henrietta. Okay, she may have her phone on mute. If you'd like to comment, please press 1. And we'll recognize you and bring you on the air. And, okay, we've got a caller here. Oh, this is my sister girl here, 347-404. Go ahead, Max.
I just got on the line, so I didn't hear the question.
Well, we're talking about the impact of the other parent in the child's life. You know, how active are they? Are the other parents, and how do they contribute or not?
Oh, so you want to hear my situation?
Sure.
Parents don't contribute. I have three fathers for my three children, and one of the parents was initially contributing, and that slacked off over the years, and basically, it's the woman's responsibility to raise the children because the men, if they're not in the household, they really don't feel the responsibility. They don't feel that it's necessary for their finances to help pay for the clothes, the food, the medical, the entertainment. So pretty much the majority of the onus goes on the woman. The woman has to do it all. That's my experience.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And we also want to know if, for example, what if you have events to go to, do you invite the other parents? What happened to the other caller? The other caller dropped off. Okay. We've got somebody else on the line here as well. Go ahead, Max, and then we're going to take another caller as well. You want to take a shot at that?
If there are events to go to,
of course
you want to invite the other parents. I think that I've always allowed my children's fathers to be part of their experience, whether they were contributing financially or not. But typically, the fathers are not very active. I mean, they state that they would like to be, but when it actually comes down to being present and accountable, that I don't see that either. So I don't really mean to be painting a negative picture on fathers who are not in the household, but that's just my experience. I don't know if there's anyone else who feels the same way.
Well, the one thing that I want to underline that you pointed out is that you do invite them and allow them to participate in the child's life, because there are some mothers out there that, if they're not contributing financially, don't allow them to be part of their life. So that I would just want to acknowledge you for being open-minded enough to be able to invite them in, whether they're kicking it financially or not. So thank you. Call it 347-841. You're live on the air. Go ahead. Have a question.
Yes,
or you want to
good evening. This is Ray. I have no experience as far as being a parent, single, or otherwise, but I do have the experience of being raised up in a household where at times it could seem like I was raised up in a single-parent household. Not taking anything away from my dad, okay? Basically, I mean, my dad is a good man and whatnot, but, I mean, he had certain issues when it came to drinking and whatnot. Therefore, my mom had to kick in and do whatever, not what she was doing, but just for us to actually have that respect, even when we saw our dad under the weather, because we didn't know what was going on. We're little. We didn't know what was going on. All right, I'm talking about my personal experience right now, and I'm not ashamed to put it out there, because the fact is I'm talking from my heart. My dad is a good man, but, you know, there are issues that he had to deal with that I felt that he wasn't there for us. And it's not that, not only did I feel that way, as I've matured and came into my own as a woman, he was not there for us. But that was based on whatever issues he was going through. But my mom is still, that's your father. No matter what he does, that's your father. You are not the judge. The Almighty is the judge. You go up there and you support your father. You obey your father. And you have any issues, you come to me, your mother. So in that way, I feel that my mom actually, to a certain extent, was actually, I was raised up in a single-parent household. Now, I don't know how many of you out there are listeners or participants out there are hearing what I'm saying, and I don't care whether you hear what I'm saying or not. This is coming from my heart, because a lot of times, just because the father or mom is not there doesn't mean, just because they're both there, that you're not being raised up in a single-parent household. This needs to be addressed. Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The other thing is, because I'm gonna make it short, because I know there are a lot of calls probably up on the air, and I don't want to hog, because I can't hog the show. I'm not allowed to do that. But the thing is that the point of the matter is this: is that I appreciate my dad, but it was my mom that was there. It was my mom that was dealing with the issues that she had to deal with my dad. Now, let me make this very clear. My dad was a good man, but he had issues. Issues that my mom had to deal with, and that as I grew older, I was the oldest and whatnot, and I saw that. But she never actually turned a negative light on my dad, and he was in the household. She raised us single-handedly to a certain extent. I'm going to be clear about that. I'll go into that later. You know, but the thing is that I love them both. I love them both, and the thing is that with what I heard the call of Max that she was on, and having the fathers never denied her children's fathers intervening and getting to know that, you know, and talking and socializing. But the thing is that my thing is this: that's all commendable, and keep on doing that. But then, what do you do when you had a man child there? And what do you do? How do you cope with that, Max, when you have a man child there who's smelling his oats from the time he's 11, and he's smelling his on the arms, and he thinks he's all that? You know, that's a lot for a female, a mother, to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm gonna cut you there, because we're actually one of the subtopics we're going to be talking about is discipline, and
mm-hmm.
and how do you apply the discipline. So I'm gonna hold you off there, Ray. Thank you for your contribution, and if you'd like to comment, please press 1, and we'll get you on the queue. So the next, what are your views on discipline? Max, you're still on the air. Anyone else would like to comment, please press 1.
Okay, so my children right now, I have two boys, 17 and 11, and a girl that's 15 years old. And I must say that I'm still learning about discipline. I beat my children. I've always beat my children. But I can't say that my methods have been the most, the methods that have actually produced the results that I want. It's very difficult, especially when Renee was talking about raising a male child. My youngest male child is the one who is very verbal and very, very combative, has something to say about everything. My older son, just recently, we've been having issues with discipline because he's almost, he'll be 18 years old in a couple of months. Testosterone is kicking up, and he wants to show his mane and let me know that he's a man. And that's all fine and well, but not in my house. So there's definitely an issue, with discipline. But I've always been one who has beat my children. That was how I was raised. That's how I know it's effective. There are other things that you can do. I've done other things like timeout and things of that nature. And it's an issue. It's a real issue, especially when there is no man in the house for them to emulate, for them to see how does a man handle this. I can't be a father. I can be a mother. I can be the best mother that I can be, but I miserably fell short of being a father. And I just
well, wanted to... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Is Harrietta Burr still on the line? Our sister?
She is. I don't think she's queued up to mic. Let me see. No, she's actually. Oh wait, hold on. She's on the air.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah,
can
now.
You hear me?
We looked for you earlier. No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're on now.
Okay, dear. Now, a couple of things. One is, in the International Black Summit in the Declaration, there's a distinction that we declare ourselves, our communities, and all communities whole and complete. Now, standing there, and then realizing that God does not make mistakes. So, if you have five children by five different men, they are not mistakes. And whatever those souls need, if they have one parent, that is what their soul needs. So we have to start looking from the standpoint of what we say we believe. We say we believe God in whatever form or fashion we say we believe. And we say we're made in the image and likeness of God. And we say that God is good all the time. Then God is good if you are a single parent. God is good if you have one parent. God is just good. Either we believe what we say about God or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, our situations are different than maybe our situations are different maybe than we're used to. You know, maybe we came up with two parents, but because there's only one doesn't mean there's anything wrong. A parent can't be there for a child because if a parent can't be there for themselves. So if you situation where a parent, where you feel a parent wasn't there for you, or a parent isn't there for a child, it's called thank you, God, because you don't want anybody around your children who's not prepared to be a parent. So you don't know why they've made the choices not to be a parent, but one thing you do know is that you divinely taken care of, and everything, I guarantee you, everything you've ever needed has always been supplied for you. So it's more of a step into the gratitude of whatever the situation is. And I understand, I'm a single parent. And no, it was not easy. But we make it, and we make it. I think we have to stop comparing ourselves to other situations and thinking some other situation is better than the one that we have. Our situation is perfect exactly the way it is. And that, you know,
well,
okay, go ahead.
That actually brings up the point I wanted to make, and one of the distinctions of the International Black Summit is that there's no right way to be. So
right.
there's no manual to raise children. There's no reference manual. You're dealing with different personalities, and you're dealing with the individual that has a personality. Some of which have personalities from birth. Some develop them later as part of the environment. So it's a combination of environment and personality. And so, you know, the dynamics of it is very, very different. So there is no right way to be, and we invite you to look at what's appropriate and what's in concert with what it is that you're up to and that you believe and that you're, you know, because I'm clear that we all do the best that we can given that situation. At a later point in time, we might have done it differently, but, you know, grant ourselves some grace around being a parent. And for me, I want to actually acknowledge single parents, single parenting, however it looks, whether there are two parents in the household or not. Sometimes there's also single parenting, as Ray spoke to earlier. And I want to say that in this day and age, the pressures, all of the things that these young people are up against with this technology, the internet, the games, all of the things, as parents, that's a lot on your plate to take on. So I want to acknowledge all the single parents that are on the call and certainly the ones that are not on the call because I know that it's not easy. We've got a caller with her hand up, 757-969. Go ahead. I believe this is Althea Donnelly.
Yes,
out of Virginia.
Hi.
She called the show.
Hi.
And we're talking about discipline. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a single. I was married, and then I had my daughter, and then 3 years later, I divorced her dad. So I was a single parent, but it wasn't that difficult, only because my ex-husband was pretty accommodating. Whenever I needed him, he was there. However, when my daughter was 10, I had been seeing my son's father for a few years, and I ended up getting pregnant, and I had him, and he wasn't accommodating. And at first I was, you know, upset, but I realized that it was my choice that I decided to have this baby, which ended up being a boy. And I say that because I had no problems with my daughter, but my son, when he started school, I was at school all the time for him because he would do his work, but then he would cause trouble. So I was in school a lot for him. I started my discipline with both my children very early when they were, when they started walking, just like tapping their finger, don't touch that, or no, you know, and I stuck to, for discipline, I kept my word no matter what. If it was something that I said they could not do because if they were being punished for some reason, for something they did, I kept my word. I did not give in. Even if they did, if I promised them something great that we were going to do, I did everything I could to do that. My son, I did have to spank a few times because he didn't get it. You know, like I would take things from him. He couldn't look at television or he couldn't, whatever. And he still would act out. I still have to go to school up until he was in fifth grade. And so there were a few times when the belt came out around his legs, or I went to school one time and I pulled him out of his classroom and I just punched him in his arms because I had to come to school for him for his behavior. But there was also times when we did a lot of great things together, and I did a lot of talking, and I was there for them when they needed me. And I think those things are important. Being a single parent was hard. I had to take my son's father to court to get money from him. and it was frustrating sometimes. Participating in the Black Summit at the times that I did when my son was young helped, the Landmark Forum helped, just getting to know who I was as a woman, as a parent helped. And also I had my son around a lot of positive men. I have positive, my brother, my cousins, you know, anybody at Landmark Education. My son was around Landmark Education since he was five, and then around the Black Summit when he got a little bit older. So I exposed him to a lot of things, and I talked to his dad about raising a man child. Like, I'm a female, I don't know how to raise a man child. And mm-hmm. his dad is now in his life, and his dad slowly came around and realized that this was his youngest son and he needed to be in his life. And then when my son got older, he was able to voice to his dad all the things that he didn't like about how his dad was with him when he was a little boy, because his dad did take him sometimes when he was a little boy. But for me, I knew it was all on me. And for me, the consistency, keeping my word to my children, whether it was a positive or negative, was the thing that had them be successful. My son is now 25. He's responsible. He's working. He's on his own. He's going to school. He paid off his school to get back in school. He's constantly working. He bought his own car. He's just that kind of person. And I don't say that to get a pat on the back. I attribute that to just the consistency of being there, always following through with my discipline, making sure I never – well, there were times when I did go back on my word. You can ask him, you know. But for the most part, just being there. Like, my life was not my own. Once I became a single parent, once I chose to have him – my life was no longer my own. Yeah. It's my own now, because my daughter is now 35 and my son is 25. So it's my life is my own now. But when they were growing up, my life was not my own. I had to sacrifice to make sure that these two would become responsible human beings.
So I'm glad there's light at the end of the tunnel out there.
There is. Oh, very good, very good. And also, part of the show that we always read out the Kwanzaa principle, and this show, the Kwanzaa principle is Kuumba. In parentheses, means creativity. To do a way as much as we can, in the way we can, in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited. So. Oh, brothers and sisters, think about that.
That's perfect. That's perfect, Jerry, because being a single parent is about being creative. Absolutely.
Yes. Exactly. And so that's what we need to do. And any fathers that are listening right now, that the sisters actually learning us, so they need help. You help create that. You help create that son and daughter, step in and help out. Do not leave it on the women. And it goes vice versa. Women, do not leave it on the fathers either. Because the only way our community would be strong, it had to be both parents had to step in the picture to make our children be better citizens and be better contributions to our community. And after that, we could be and for our race a Black African descent, we could be much more powerful.
Okay, Jerry.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I disagree with that statement. I totally disagree with the only way our communities are going to be more powerful is if both parents join in. That means that all these women who just spoke. How I heard that is because both parents aren't joining in, that the communities aren't going to be stronger. And that's just not true. That's what I'm talking about. We have to understand.
But you heard wrong.
That's not what you said. Okay, excuse me. Jerry, would you repeat what you said?
Go ahead.
Okay. what I heard was the only way our communities are going to be stronger is if both parents join in. That's what I heard. Now, what I'm saying is both parents are joining in, and our communities are getting stronger. The young lady who just spoke about her son, her community is stronger because of her son being independent, and sometimes the father was there and sometimes the father was not. What I'm pointing to is we have to understand that everything is okay the way it is. There's
right.
nothing wrong with being a single parent. It is difficult, but having two parents is difficult, because rather than one
Amen.
Person saying what you have to do, you have to
mm-hmm.
deal with both of the parents getting being in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my daughter has friends who have two parents in the house, and it was hell for them because every time, you know, they say they ask one parent something, it would start an argument, you know, between the two parents. So the way it goes, it's not easy raising children, whether there's one parent or two. But our communities are going to be stronger because we're going to make them stronger. And we're going to do that whether there's two parents or not, because there's always a second parent. There's always somebody that comes around to assist. Always, in every situation.
And there's also surrogates that jump in.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was my point. That's my point that I was going to jump in too. No matter what, there's always going to be that second parent of surrogate. There's always going to be that second
right.
parent, or it could be another family, or it could be uncles. It could be aunts.
Yeah.
It could be grandmothers.
I agree.
Well, one of the subtopics that we actually wanted to get to, and it's great that you brought it up, is how, as a single parent, how did your children deal with other children who had both parents? Was it a problem? Was it not? Now, you, Henrietta, just brought up a point that in your daughter's case, some of her friends who had both parents really had a tough time in their family.
Right.
Was it just that one that you noticed it in, or did you
it? No. In my daughter's school, there was a very high suicide rate. Yeah. School, and not every, but the ones that I'm aware of, the suicide attempts that I'm aware of, were all from homes where there were two parents. And that was one of the issues that the child had, was the disagreeing between the parents and trying to satisfy one parent and then trying to satisfy the other parent. And so, you know,
So basically the parents weren't on one accord, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying that from the child's view.
The child was playing one parent against the other.
Not necessarily.
That's what you're saying.
No, not in these cases. It was the parent. One parent wanted the child to be raised a particular way. The other parent wanted the child to be raised a different way. So not on one accord would work in that particular situation.
And the
but
child.
When a child plays one parent against each other, they're generally very happy, okay, because they're doing it. They're playing the game. You know, if I can't get it from here, I'll go over here and get it. But this was stressful to the degree that these particular children were attempting suicide because of the disagreements or trying to fit into this plan by two different, you know, for two different parents.
Okay. Go ahead, whoever. Go ahead.
I'd like to hear from Max and Althea to respond to that. What did you notice about children with both parents? Household, was there a difference? Did it cause a problem with your children interacting with them?
Okay, well, I just want to say that what I noticed with my children now, mind you, my children were raised here pretty much in New York City. We came back here 7 years old, 4 years old, and 9 months old. And what I noticed is that a lot of my children's friends, parents, were in a single household, and those parents who were, those children who had both parents, I can only think of one situation where the parents were united. The other situations were kind of like what Renee was talking about earlier in the call, where one of the parents was an alcoholic, or there was a definite issue that the children were definitely aware of, and my kids were like, you know what, we're fine just the way we are.
Okay.
Good, good, gotcha, gotcha. Althea, what was it for you?
I had it with my daughter. A couple of my friends were married, and their children were friends with my daughter, but it really wasn't an issue. I didn't really have a problem with that. When my son was coming up, most of his friends were, the moms were single parents, so they were all, it's only a few, but I never really had that. My children, they didn't think anything was missing, but I think it's because they both did know their dads and they did interact with their dads. My son, not as much as my daughter did, but the way I was with the dads, I get along with both of them, and I tried to make it work out for my kids. I can't really share about, you know, any kind of negative responses about that.
Well, can I ask a question? To you?
Uh-huh.
How were you able to deal with what you were going through, you know, being optimistic and open-minded? That had to actually drain, you know, you had so much positive energy that you had thrown into this because of your children and because of the relationship and because of the situation you were in. How did you feel at the end of the night, at the end of the day, because you are so outgoing and you don't judge, even if you're angry? That's what I feel from you. You don't judge. It's like, my children need this, my kids need this, I need to be there for this and that, and my kids and their fathers. Where did you get that strength from?
I have a strong family. I come from a strong family. I do come from a two-parent home. My father did drink. My parents argued a lot about raising my brothers because my father wanted to raise my brothers one way. My mother kind of treated my brothers like babies. Like, I'm the oldest of 7. I have 3 brothers and 3 sisters. But the way my father was, he taught me, I learned a lot from him, especially about being independent. He was very much for his children no matter what. So I do have a strong family. I did have a strong family upbringing, but I never thought I would be a single parent. That wasn't in my plan for my life. And at the end of the day, I'll tell you right now, at the end of the day, every day, I felt beat up, tired, worn out, and I would do whatever I needed to do, talk to whoever I needed to talk to recharge myself all the time. I always, like I said, I always put myself in positive environments. I tried to keep myself away from negative things. It wasn't peaches and cream. It wasn't creamy. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of hard work. And like I said, I did I sacrificed my finances. I sacrificed my time, my relationships, my, you know, going out. I sacrificed all of that. And I've always been, you know, no matter what, I always felt like God was there for me. So there was all I had. You do need to have a community. It takes, like you say, it does take a community to raise children. So you do need a strong group of friends. I always put myself in a strong group of people so that I did not have to do, I felt like I wasn't in it all alone. And I was at times, but like I said, I never thought I'd be sane. I mean, now my life is going along pretty good, but I, for a long time, I just thought that, oh my gosh, what did I do? So, but I'm a positive person, so that helps a lot in being positive and knowing these men are not that the, it's my decision too. Like, we try to blame the men sometimes for being this way, not being there for us, or being, but I knew how I felt was my husband married me. He married me, so he knew eventually there were going to be children. And not all men do this. They still don't take care of their children even when they marry the woman. But this one did, and he knew he was going to have children. So my experience with him, I didn't want to be married anymore. So, but he still did what he needed to do. My son's father, I felt like he didn't marry me. He didn't ask me to marry him. I didn't want to marry him. So it was, and I got pregnant, and I said, well, it's on me. And he did want to be involved with his child, but I couldn't, and I was angry at him sometimes. I'd call him in the middle of the night when his child woke up in the middle of the night when I first had him. I would ring his phone and hang up. They didn't have caller ID in 85. And so I would do stuff like that. I did. But the bottom line is I knew it was on me, and I knew I had to. There were things that I had to do to make sure that my children would be okay. And so I did whatever I needed to do to make sure that my children were okay. And now they acknowledge me. They acknowledge me, and I'm sometimes surprised. But I got on their nerves. I did. They talk about me sometimes. I did. I got on their nerves. But they realized that what I was doing was only for their benefit, and it was what was done for me. So I hope I answered your question without going on too long.
Very good, very good. Also, after the show, we have the oxygen room at 9 o'clock, and that number is 218-862-6420, and the access number is 797-4834#. And we will mention that again in a few minutes. Now, there's a question I want to put out. How do the other parent invite the other parent to any event?
Just call them up and you tell them that your child is having a special event and would like their presence, and can they come?
Okay. Now I'm gonna put this other question on. Now how about there's a dynamic here that both parents do not get along. Now, how do the other parent or both how the other parent goes about trying to smooth out the situation just for the child?
You just tell them the same thing, but they just can't sit with you. Only joking. I was only joking.
I don't know. That sounds like a good idea.
But you know what? I agree with you, Max, because when my son graduated from middle school, his dad was sitting up in one part of the auditorium, and I was sitting down in the other part of the auditorium. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was fine. And then when we got together at the end of the graduation, we were fine. I mean, but we didn't sit together. We knew, I'm not sitting next to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
He wanted to be there.
Jerry?
Yes.
One of the other things about that question is, you know, sometimes if the parent hasn't been around, it kind of puts a damper on the situation. I had an experience like that where I thought, okay, this would be a good time to invite, you know, because this is a celebration. And then when the parent hasn't been around, the parent shows up for this special occasion, then the child is focused on this person who hasn't been there, and they can't enjoy the celebration because here's this parent that they haven't seen, and now they have to, you know, they're in this question about why haven't, and all the fun is going on with their friends. So, you know, sometimes we really have to just be appreciative and just go on and celebrate with who the family or the village has been, and not really try to include the other parent, you know, unless we you know, really sit down and talk to the child about it. Do you want this? Do you want me to invite this person or not? But it's, you know, if they haven't seen that person in a long time, you know, a parent can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good, very good, very good. Is anybody else?
Well,
is there
I actually
want
to. No, not at this point. If you'd like to jump into this conversation, we've got a little less than 10 minutes left. Press 1. But the question I want to ask is, we talked a little bit about the time management of it, and Althea talked a little bit about recharging a battery. Any tips or conversation that you can share with other single parents about taking time for your play and your social life with your kids and for yourself?
I think you can have a social life. I mean, I did have one. I did. It's not like I didn't have one. But I knew who I could send my children to. You know, you have to know who your children can be with. I didn't do a lot of socializing, especially when they were younger. When they got older, when they were teenagers or in their early 20s, and, you know, I would have parties at my house or have people come over to my house. But when they were younger, I actually went out of the home and did, you know, whatever. If I was seeing somebody, I didn't bring them in. I didn't bring them to my house. I did everything outside of my house. Because to me, your actions are just as important as your words, and I wanted my children to come up a certain way. Not that I was being fake in front of them, but I wanted them. What I said, I wanted them to see me be that. So whenever I hung out or something, I always scheduled it for me and made sure that I had somebody who was responsible who could be with my kids.
Yeah. And for me, I kind of made a decision that I wasn't going to marry, you know, because to me it was like too much. Raising a child was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, I made a decision, you know, I'll wait till she's grown. And then I won't have to, you know, I won't have to choose, because for some reason I always thought that it would be a conflict. That's what I had in my mind. And I didn't want to have to deal with choosing between whoever I was dating or, you know, having that conflict. So I decided not to do that. But what I did was, I really believe that God gave me everything that I needed. And so I would find, you know, like Max said, everybody, when I looked around, everybody was a single parent. And so we started doing things together. I mean, we would have pajama parties, but it would be adults and the children. You know, we'd go some, you know, we go to hotels and stay for the weekend. You know, we traveled to different things, but it was all of these parents. So we had a wonderful time, you know, all through her childhood, you know, socializing with other families who were just like ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, as far as socializing, I heard what Kumba said about God and things being the way that they are. I know that I'm very interested in having a partner, but it just hasn't been that way for me in New York City, and I've been here for 11 years, and it just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you just do what you do. You just keep it moving.
That's right. That's right.
We have a couple minutes left. I'd like for you guys to share what it is that you would like to bestow on any other single parents out there. Any words of wisdom, any advice, anything that you've noticed that maybe they haven't worked out for themselves. Go ahead and start with you, Max.
Well, you know what? I'm listening.
I heard that. Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm a school teacher. I teach third grade, and here in Virginia, and most of the children that I teach, not all of them, but the majority of them are come from single-parent home. And the ones that don't, they do have bigger issues sometimes than the ones that do. But the thing that I just want to say to single parents is to it just be creative in your discipline, just love. I'm not saying that they don't love their children, but just show the love.
Great.
And really show the love, because when you show the love and then the discipline, and then you have to do the harder part, the disciplining of, you know, their behavior when it's not positive. I think the balance of that, you got to kind of balance the love and the hardcore discipline. You have to have a balance in there and make them responsible. Just have your children be responsible for who they are. Integrity to me. I talk to my children all the time in third grade about integrity and just being their word to themselves and to other people and how important that is for them in their life. And they're starting to get it. They're looking at me at first like I had three heads. But now I've been preaching it since September, and they're actually starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's good, because one of the things that is important is that we as adults and our parents are responsible, and that we have our children to know that they're responsible and accountable for their life.
Yeah.
So that's a very good point and a good teaching point, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think if I were to say something to single parents, I would go right along with the creativity. The best discipline I've ever come up with has been like in the moment. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, I remember the first time I had to go to school for my daughter, and it was for something ridiculous that I felt she had done. It was ridiculous, and so I couldn't think of a way of punishing her without punishing me. Okay, and so because it was just the two of us, and if she had to stay in the house, so did I.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have really made me mad. So what I came up with was, if I have to come up to school for you one more time, I'm going to have on a pink tutu, hair rollers in my hair, and ballet shoes. And I bought the pink tutu, I put the rollers on the table and the ballet shoes in my size, and I didn't have to go up to school for her about that ever again. So that in the moment, creativity, discipline, it really, really works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, back to you. We've got 2 minutes. You want to give out the oxygen room and wrap it up?
Yeah, thank you. The number is 218-862-6420. Access number is 797-4834-pound. On Glenn, you be hosting the oxygen room, right?
Yes, I will be.
Okay, so he be hosting the oxygen room from 9 o'clock to 9:30, 30 minutes. And I love this engagement. And in single parents, no matter you're a mother, no matter you're a sister or a brother, keep on the good work, and just understand that our community, we need more positive in our community, more positive figures in our community. And after that, Glenn, there's any message that you want to send out before I close this up?
That the young people are our future, and it's important that they get the guidance and direction, the structure they need to be good citizens in our society, productive citizens. And we're gonna go to the oxygen room. So if you're looking for any more information around the International Black Summit and the events, also if you want to share some things off air, I will be there, available to have that conversation there. So we invite you to be part of the show every Sunday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the number is 646-716-9827. And we also have a chat room that's available, so you can utilize that as well. We look forward to seeing you in the very near future. Thank you for all the dedication and the time that it takes to be a single parent, and thank you for enjoying our show, joining us on our show tonight. Peace and blessings to you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace.
Like.